how you made the changes and what you think was like most effective in that process.
The actually seeing it, I think, is what helped the most. And then the second thing that helped the most was just the constant repetitions of the feels that make sense to you. If you start to track fairways hit, greens hit, and total number of putts, do that for 5 rounds, you're going to realize pretty quickly what you need to work on. Work on your balance, work on some of this stuff that translates to the golf swing, and it gets so much easier. You have to get stuff that's fit to you, and you have to figure out what your lie angles are. You have to figure out like a driver and a shaft that does what you want it to do.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it.
Hey, what's going on, Member Guest family? It's Jordan and Andy here. What's up? Thanks for like, commenting, and subscribing. We're so stoked to have you guys on another ep.
We missed 1 week, and this is how you kick us off. I love it.
Yeah, I'm nursing a little bug, so apologies.
Everybody has that bug. Sydney has that bug
or
right now.
Anything going down. But glad to be doing a virtual pod tonight. I'm quarantined in the basement right now, trying not to get my pregnant wife sick.
Here's the deal. So like I had one person reach out to me and say, why do you guys miss an episode? But this stuff still hits me hard. We've kind of got a lot going on right now. Andy's about to be a dad.
Yep.
That's kind of a big deal, probably bigger than any podcast in the world, to be quite frank. And I am planning a wedding, and I am finding out that that takes way more time than I would like to admit. So, life happens. We'll be back on the grind here for the rest of the year.
Yeah, we're going to keep trying. Life comes in waves, but, you know, this is a steady Eddie. So,
and you wanted to do this episode? This was your idea.
So I thought about doing an episode with Jordan specifically. One of the things that's like really, really hard in golf is to go from being like a low single digit handicap to being a plus handicap or below scratch. Case in point, right? Like I've been anywhere between like a 0.4 and a 3 for basically the better part of the last 5 years, maybe 3 to 5 years, something like that. Probably 5 years. Yeah. We'll get down to like, I've gotten down to like 0.4 a couple times. But just like haven't been able to get over that hump and kind of get to where like the consistency is there in my game where I'm like consistently. And it's always like the same theme. It's like, yes, I can shoot 71 or 72. And there's kind of been a couple different models of like me playing really good golf. Like one model is like consistently shooting 74 to 78. You know, like I've had those runs. And then I've had like 70, 71, and then like 79, 82, 83, 70, you know, that kind of thing. And right now I'm on a stretch where like I haven't had a lot of the really low rounds. I know it's in there for sure. It's just kind of a sample size. So my handicap trends a little higher at the moment, which is interesting. But I've kind of casually been observing Jordan's game for quite a while now. And noticed like he was able to kind of push through that wall. From being a low single digit handicap, like when we started the podcast, because I remember like when we started the podcast too, like we were all kind of the same pretty much. And Jordan's just like better. He's just gotten better. And so I thought it would be like really interesting to just talk through what he's done to kind of get there. And if you know Jordan well, like I do, like this could be a very long episode because he's done lots of things. And he's always doing something, which is interesting. So Why don't we start here, dude? And I'm going to just kind of like interview you for this episode and kind of, you know, I have this vantage point, so hopefully it's helpful context, but I'd love to hear from you, like, how much you think swing changes have to do with your improved play, just given the fact that like last year you kind of peaked at a level with your old swing and you've kind of made some changes and seemingly have found a new ceiling. Like, how much do you attribute mechanics and the work you've done on your golf swing to try to get more shallow and change your, you know, delivery with like Luke and others?
It's hard to quantify, but if I were to put things, you know, I'm like a numbers analytic buckets guy, right? Like, and if everything adds up to 100, I would say that swing mechanics are somewhere in the range of 30 to 40% of that. So pretty okay. large chunk.
That's helpful.
And the reason I think that is because I video my swing. And when I show people my swing from a year and a half ago, my hands, right? People can't see. When my hands got to the top, they literally did this.
Yeah. Jar was like steeper.
I was one of the more steep, like you would see me swing a club and you're like, I don't know how that guy is a 2 handicap. And like, when I look at it now, my hands at least like, yeah, they can get a lot better. When they get to the top, they more kind of like drop down, like into the slot. And I think just the whole theme of getting better in general is, like you said earlier, your ceiling has to get higher, right? So that like your bad rounds aren't as bad and your good rounds are a little bit better. And like when I look at my scoring average, it actually isn't like crazy better. I think it's like a stroke, right? You go like, oh, you're 74 or 74 and a half. Now it's 73 and a half. But like I didn't shoot, I think I shot under par maybe like two or three times last summer. I'm like in the double digits this year. And I attribute that to like, we've all been there. I know you've been there. You know those rounds where you're just like, you're dialed.
Yeah.
Right. When you're dialed with a better swing and everything is going great for you that one day that you're making putts and getting up and down, when you're dialed with a better swing, your dispersion's tighter. You don't lose as many balls. Your balls that were in the rough are now in the fairway. Your ones that were maybe like 30 feet are now 15 to 20 feet. You just, that compounds and it gets better when you have the better mechanics. So I think 30 to 40%. So the other piece I would say, mental is 25.
Yeah, let's do it in a minute. But on the, so 40% is a huge number. And that makes sense kind of coming from where you came from too. And just like you were saying, like your move is very extreme. I'll call it just like extreme outside to in, extremely steep. And so within that, those swing changes, maybe talk me through like, what you think worked to make the changes, like how you made the changes and what you think was like most effective in that process.
I mean, the biggest thing is seeing it. I don't think I had really, until I started hanging out with you and really seeing Luke, I had never really videoed my swing. I didn't even know what it looked like. And then like when I saw a video of it and I started to see when I would take lessons, what it looked like the real way, the visual representation of like, holy cow, like that is completely 180. I see why I suck so bad. Like the actually seeing it, I think is what helped the most. And then the second thing that helped the most was just the constant repetitions of the feels that make sense to you. So like when I started to work on with Elfner, like the one thing that I heard from DeChambeau a lot is like getting to the top and feeling your, you know, your trail hand come down into your back pocket, right? Like that, whatever that feel was, I would start to do that like on the tee box or as like a warm up and just get those extra, that like feel all the time of just constantly doing it. Like when I was in the kitchen, when I was doing anything, just feeling that.
Boom. Yeah. Like as a rehearsal.
Yeah, just like as a rehearsal and becoming second nature. Because if you don't rehearse it, you don't change it. Like you have to go through those dramatic changes to make just little increments.
Yeah, well, that's interesting too. I mean, it sounds like you found a specific feel that really made a difference.
Yeah, and you talk about it all the time. Like, you got to find a feel, right? Yeah. And like when I find a feel, I try and like really grind it in. I try and just go all in on it for a couple weeks or whatever it is until it really, really sticks. And ultimately,
what does that look like for you? Is that just like beating balls, like watching video? Like, do you hit a shot and then go back and watch the video and then hit a shot and go back and watch the video? Like, how did you ingrain the changes?
I understand not everybody's has a simulator in their garage and can absolutely beat balls, and that is something that I do.
Yeah, Jordan's rich.
I did not say that. You said that. But even before I had a simulator, like, I would go to simulators and rent them out like once a week and do stuff on my own. Irregardless of that, I actually put in a lot more time. So with that specific feel, I had Luke Elfner design like a kind of like a workout I could do around it. And so like what he did for me was taking a, you know, like a 10-pound medicine ball, you know, like the big ones, not like a tiny one, getting to the top and throwing it behind my right foot. And so like finding things that I could do in the gym or at home that emulated that move or that feel, and it not just always being with a golf club to kind of get it. So like take the medicine ball, throw it at your back foot and like train that. That's what I started to do. And that's what I did like all off season last year. Like I would go to the gym, I would literally warm up. My first 5 minutes was stretching and throwing a medicine ball behind my right foot. I looked like an idiot, but that's what I did.
Yeah. So you just like went all in on kind of that one thing.
Yeah. Until it started to get better. And eventually it did.
I mean, that's pretty interesting too, because you hear a lot about like people, like I know for me, like I've never made a swing change. Like I've always made multiple swing changes. You know what I mean? Like where I'm trying to do multiple things at once. And I think your ability to like simplify and just focus on like that thing, the biggest thing you need to work on, I think is a definitely like credit to you, just like being able to focus in on that one area and really just drill in that one thing versus like trying to boil the ocean with changes, you know?
Yeah. Cause there's always something else, right? Like I'm also really bad at using the ground. You're super good at using the ground. There's a lot of things I'm still bad at, but like when I saw it on video, I just realized the easiest thing, or like the thing that would have the most impact for me, was getting rid of the over the top, you know, cut slice that I had.
Yeah.
And then I had to figure out earlier in the year, like when we first started playing at Pioneer, I had never seen a ball go left in my life. And I started hitting like hooks. I'm like, oh my God, I got to fix this now.
Yeah.
Right. But like, at least I had overdone it so much that I was able to kind of come back to the middle and have something playable. And then the ceiling became a little higher.
Yeah. And then, you were going to go there next, but if we said like 40% was kind of the mechanics of your golf swing, and yeah, I mean, that's a huge chunk, right? Like, you're not getting there without making those changes. And then what would you say, like on the mental game, what would you say that was?
Just to make it easy numbers, I'm going to say 30%.
Okay.
When Decade started to make more sense, it completely changed my view of golf in general, and understanding, like, it seems so stupid now, but I know all my buddies still struggle with this and I help them with it on the course. And you get this when you play with better players. Like I played with Beef and Jack Hill a lot this year, and it's second nature to guys like that have been playing the game for so long. But for me, like I just started doing this stuff within the last 2 years, and the simple stuff like 150 yards to a front pin, you can literally hit two more clubs onto the green if you play behind the number, right? Like you could still probably get 160 and 170 yard shot on the green. Why are you trying to like take a really big swing with less club to get to a front pin location? Like just get on the green and make it a two putt. And playing for par, that was the biggest thing that Decade taught me, was play for par and the birdies are going to come. And so just the mental part of course strategy, and, you know, it starts to go into a whole other slew of things like, you know, different techniques and different, you know, like on course kind of play. it is like at least 30%. I'm pretty convinced if I could just get on a 15 handicaps bag, I could save them 3 to 4 strokes around just by having them not do stupid decisions and telling them where to aim. Like, I think it's that important.
Yeah.
And when you start to look at your game, right, and you're a 1 or a 2 and you're trying to get to a 0.
Yeah.
The room for error is this big, right? Like it's tiny. You go back in your round and it's like a bogey here and a double bogey here.
Yeah.
And aside from blow up swing or whatever, it's usually like a lapse. It's almost always a lapse in thinking and judgment and like thinking you can do something you're not capable
of. Totally. I mean, totally.
And literally throwing the ego out the door, just being like, I do not need to hit a hero shot. This is hole 6 of like a Friday game that matters to like only me. Why am I trying to hit a hero shot from 200, like on hole 6 at Windsong? Yeah. Why not punch out, lay up? Worst I'm going to do is make a bogey if I hit it on with the wedge. And maybe I make a putt and make a par. It's stuff like that, that you start to reduce your scores. And
yeah, I mean, I think about just my round today, you know, at least 4 shots were course management. You know, tried to muscle a 60 to a front pin on 13. Could have hit it. I had 80 yards in and I never hit that shot. Like, I'm much more comfortable just chipping a sand wedge and kind of flighting one in there and taking 20 feet. And I just blade it over the green, lost ball, 2 shots. Right. And then on 16, the only shot you can't hit on 16 is where?
Hold on. So 16 today, the pin was
independent of where
frontish,
the pin is,
right?
The only shot you cannot hit on 16.
Short in the water?
In the water, yeah. And I front pin, and I tried to muscle something to get it there, and I made a bad swing because I'm trying to hit it hard.
Where you could literally take another club, aim left of it, center of the green, and give 25 feet.
100%. And so, yeah, I mean, that's I think that's a lot of mine. It's just like course management and decision-making.
Because what did you shoot today?
I shot, I shot 82. And I also tried to kill a driver on 18 around the corner and hit it in the water. So that's 6 shots right there, at least. Right. And then,
That's 6 shots on a day that you're not playing to your full game. Those days when you do have the putts and you're hitting it well.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else, It's interesting to just think about.
Here, I'll give you a funny. This is one of my funniest, not even funny, just such a real life example.
Yeah.
So every Labor Day, we do our high school fantasy football draft. And over the last 5 or 6 years, everybody kind of likes to golf. We usually get 8 of us out of 10 out to be able to golf. And my buddy Stang, who runs Swanee's, he's always there, and he and I somehow get paired in the same group. We're absolutely throttling the group that we're playing against. I have no idea how they paired us up, but they did. And the other two guys in our group are definitely trying to make a push for getting better at golf. And so we're sitting and we're playing a scramble, and we have a downhill, downwind shot that's literally 250 yards away to a back pin. And he and I are talking through this. Then we've got our other buddy there just kind of listening. And I'm like, I think I'm going to go 4-iron here. And my buddy and Stang is like, I think I'm going to hit a hybrid. It probably lands at 210, 220, a little bit of wind, rolls to the back. And my buddy's like, no, you guys are idiots. I mean, there's 25 yards of wind up there. It's downhill. This has got to be a 6-iron. It's a 6 or 5, maybe a 5-iron. And I'm like, dude, no offense, but I'm a scratch golfer, and Stang used to be a scratch golfer, and he'd probably be a +3 right now if he actually played golf.
Yeah.
We're between 4-iron and hybrid, so we're going to hit that, and you hit your 6-iron. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So we can't see the green. I hit my 4-iron. He hits his hybrid. He hits his 6-iron. We get up there. The 4-iron and the hybrid are on the green. One of them's 15 feet. The other's dead center. The 6-iron is 40 yards short. 40 yards short.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, dude, that's why. I'm like, this is the stuff that I think the more that you play and the more that you actually start to think through shots and be realistic about how far you can hit a club and just realizing you're not going to flush it every single time. And, you know, playing smart will ultimately save you strokes.
So. Yeah, 100%. No, that's really, really great. And when did you start like doing Decade? Like, do you actually track your stats and do the whole thing?
Yeah, last year I got into it early in the season. This year I started getting into it actually probably later this season. And I'll typically start to do it more when I want to figure out what I need to work on next. And it's really interesting. Like, I always thought I sucked at putting, and I'm actually a decent putter. I'm not a good putter, but I'm a decent enough putter. I am coming to find out I am terrible around the greens. Like, my short game is atrocious.
Yeah.
Like scrambling, like getting up and down.
Yeah.
And so I started, like, every lesson that I would take now, which is maybe, you know, 2 times a month, I would just be like, let's just focus on chipping. Let's focus on chipping. And then you just start to see your scores reduce just based off of what you need to work on. And so I just, aside from like all the mental stuff, if you start to track fairways hit, greens hit, and total number of putts, do that for 5 rounds, you're going to realize pretty quickly what you need to work on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't need to work on hitting the driver as much anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't need to work on putting as much anymore. I need to work on getting up and down, because my rounds go from a 70 to a 75 when I have 2 chips, or I can't get up and down on like a par 5 from 20, 30 yards out, where I should have made birdie and make a bogey because I hit a horrible chip.
And what else is kind of on your pie chart if, you know, 40% is kind of the mechanics and swing changes and 30% is kind of mental? Like, what else would you have on there? What other categories?
This is kind of weird, but I put 20% of it as just like golf fitness.
Okay. Yeah.
I know my strength is hitting the ball far, and like driving the ball well, but like I started to walk more and getting like better quote unquote golf shape. And like when I started going to the gym, I would just start to do more, stretches and mobility. And you start to realize, like, understanding the golf swing, I didn't quite realize how important like flexibility was.
Yeah.
It's like you know that it's important inherently, yeah, right? Like, you can see a stiff swing and you'd be like, oh man, yeah, you need to like get a little more turn or get up here. But when you really start to do it and you can feel it in your swing and like you think you're going halfway back, but you're really already at the top, it just makes golfing so much easier.
Yeah.
When you're that flexible. And for someone like me that, like, I don't have this, you know, for lack of a better term, like God-given golf ability. Like, I really am still in my grind mode to figure this thing out. It's just made such a big difference. And like the Empower dudes wrote a nice little, like, shout out Empower. They didn't pay me to say this. They wrote me a nice little, like, hey, when you're in the gym, like, warm up with this 10 minutes, work on like single leg balance stuff. Right. Cause like I would get on my toes a lot and get forward a lot. And that kind of led to my over the top. Work on your balance, work on some of this stuff that translates to the golf swing, and it gets so much easier.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a really good one. I'm glad you brought that up. And, you know, if you think about it, like, especially at my age, at our age, like, you know, my mindset is not that variable day to day. My mechanics are not that variable day to day anymore. But my body, like, definitely is. Like, sat in a chair all day at work, or like, did I mow the lawn this morning or did I not? You know, and so, like, you don't realize, like, it's like, oh, you always think like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with my swing. But it's like, no, maybe I'm just like less mobile today, right? Or I'm stiff or like tight. And like, it is kind of amazing because you hear like a guy like Jordan Spieth, like, he said he got more mobile. And it took him a while to figure out his swing because he was used to like getting to his end range of mobility, and that was the top of his backswing. And when he got more mobile, he had to figure out like that piece of it. But if you think about like just that investment you've made in your body, like I would say I see that with you just in terms of consistency, like, of your play. It feels like that's where it shows up the most, is like it's just a little bit more consistent because you're not as up and down or day to day with like how you're feeling and how you're, you know, physically, like kind of the physical condition that you're in. Would you say that's true?
Oh yeah. It's, I mean, I used to go to the gym and just do like what I would normally do at the gym. And it was literally like, it was literally as easy as flipping a switch and just changing 15 minutes of my workout to do some golf related stuff. And it, like, that was it. Like, become a little bit more flexible, a little more mobile, and like way better balance. Those were like the three things I focused on. And I like, it translates. It's really weird to say, because yeah, I never thought about it until we talked to those dudes. And then you start to realize the modern game, that's where things are going, man. Like, whenever I go into Empower, or like I see all these videos on Instagram, like these kids, dude, they smash it.
Yeah.
Like at the US AM at Hazeltine, these dudes were hitting drivers like 340, 350 yards. And it's just, it's, the game is going to be so much different, I think, in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And fitness and strength is going to become such a big part of it that I think if you're not at least thinking of it or trying something now, you're going to fall behind. And like, I it's been really cool. Like Mama, you know, he wants to hit the driver further. He's like, you know, I kind of want to do something this off season. What do you suggest? I honestly think people, if they just stretched more and got a little bit more flexible, you know, getting that whip, right? Just,
yeah,
you don't even need to lift a bunch of weights. If you just stretch more, get some more mobility, it's going to give you 5 to 10 more yards.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, makes such a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think speed training too is, you know, like,
yeah,
the way to train to swing faster is to go faster, you know?
Oh, 100%. And like the last part of it, you know, I'm a equipment junkie. I would also like to take this opportunity to crown myself the champion of our annual bet, even though you think that I cheated. But I did keep the blueprints in the bag all year long.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I did change the driver a few times, admittedly, and fairway woods and putter. But I kept the blueprints, and I truly believe like equipment makes such a big deal. And again, like when you're, the purpose of this episode is to talk about single digit handicappers.
Those irons completely changed my ball striking this year.
Yeah. Like you can see it.
I was my ball striking was the best it's ever been this year.
And it's all to say that I can tell when equipment makes a change for better or for worse, because I've done it both ways, right?
Yeah.
And my philosophy with equipment up until now, and it remains to be, because I'll for sure make changes this offseason, undoubtedly, as my body changes and my game changes. But like I kind of take two steps forward, one step back when it comes to equipment. And I still continue to learn and kind of change my logic and thinking. But you have to get stuff that's fit to you. And you have to figure out what your lie angles are. You have to figure out like a driver and a shaft that does what you want it to do. The only reason I went away from a ping driver this year is because I just found that with the Callaway, I hit it higher and I actually spun it more on misses. And so I wanted my dispersion to be wider, not longer, right? Like if I was going to miss left, I still wanted to miss left 290 yards. I didn't want to miss left 240 yards. Right. So now just my area has become way bigger. And so like finding that type of stuff, I just think that'll save you that stroke or two that takes you from a 75 down to a 72. And all of a sudden your handicap, your index is going to start to trend lower and lower and lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're definitely not afraid to make changes.
Oh, and I get ripped for it all the time. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's something to be said for kind of changing. And I always hit a new driver better for a while. And then I, you know, like it's good to change. Yeah, I feel very dialed with my irons and wedges. But probably more top of the bag work to do than I would like. But yeah, that's cool. So on the equipment, anything like big jump out of you there that was like critical?
My putting has gotten so much better since I went back to a lab. And I think most people know, like I would say I used to be pretty atrocious putting. Now I'm at least average for somebody that's, you know, a scratch golfer. But when I started only having to focus on speed putting with like the putter that I had, instead of kind of, you know, alignment and all this other stuff, I'm able to just set the putter down, make sure like I think the line is correct, and then the thing just swings itself. And I've seen a lot of people go to the Jailbirds, a lot of people go to the Labs this year, and like you see it on tour too. I think people are starting to realize, like, when it comes to putting, take as many variables out of the equation as you can, and it gets that much easier. And so for me now, I just focus on line and speed. I'm not as concerned about my alignment. I'm not as concerned about, is the line exactly where I want it to be? Trying to be a little bit more of an athlete and taking the decade approach of just, you know, get everything inside that like 3 to 5 foot circle, and you're going to be a much better putter. Like, try. And so finding the putter that helps you do that, which for me was the Lab.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was gappings. I don't know. You're pretty smart about your gappings and numbers, but I really focused on that this year because I really wanted to hit more stock shots and get a lot better at knowing my numbers. And when I changed my clubs, I stopped caring about like an exact 4 degree gap or 4.5 degree gap, or kind of like, you know, that OCD part of me that was, you know, if I have a 50, I have to have a 54 and a 58. And I just started hitting clubs that went the numbers that I wanted to. And I didn't really care about what degree it was or what, you know, whatever. Just, I need to have a 100-yard club, a 115 club, and a 130 club. Like, what go those numbers? And when I'm confident they go the number, that's all I care about.
Yeah. What about shot shape for you? Has that changed at all? Or
that's straight.
Yeah.
I my theory is try and play a straight ball. I'm not good enough to work it one way or another. And I figure if I play the straight ball, I think Benoit talks about this. He didn't talk about it specifically with me, but I've seen him post about it.
Yeah.
It's really hard just to have the, you know, like, I know everybody wants to take away one side of the fairway or whatever, but if you just try and hit a straight ball, yeah, your dispersion is going to be left to right, but it's going to be way less left to right than like just trying to hit one shot shape. And then when you do miss it, having that other side of play. So like, if you think about hitting it at the center of the green, right, which we know is the easiest thing to do, you have all the left side and all the right side to work with. And you know, you're going to miss it a little bit left and a middle, a little bit right every now and again. But if you were just playing like a draw and you're aiming to that right side, and then every now and again you hit the straight one or you do hit the right one.
Yeah.
Now you're for sure off the green.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'd rather aim for the middle and have both sides of the green in play. And yeah, that's just what's worked for me. Not everybody does it that way, but I've found just give me the biggest area to miss in.
Yeah.
And the scoring average is going to come down.
Yeah. I think I've kind of gone to just like, it just depends on the wind, you know, like if it's like hard off the right, you know,
what do you hit on 7 today? I know where the wind was. What do you hit on 7?
Front I had a iron.
Yeah. Wind off the right.
Yeah. I drew it. I took one last club and drew it and rode the wind to like 8 feet.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds great.
That was exactly like, Hillen hit it to a foot there, by the way. That's where he had the big banker hole. Cause Beef hit a good one too. And we were all in there, and Hillen went last. It almost went in. It was really close. But that's where, like, on that hole, like, just taking that as an example, like, if the wind is hard off the right, there's water on the right. Like, I just know if this ball has any draw spin, it's either on the green or in the bunker, you know? And I know the only way I can hit it in the bunker is, or hit it in the water, is it has cut spin, you know? And so that's kind of where I think about like trying to work it or whatever, is really only in those extreme cases where there's like wind hard off the right or hard off the left. And it's like, you know, with driver, for example, if the wind is super hard off the left, like, you know, cutters hate that, because if you hit the heely cut and it starts ripping in that wind, like, it's not a lot of fun, right? And so that's kind of the time I think about it the most. But that's more to just keep the ball straight is the goal, right? It's not, yeah, like I'm trying to hit a draw necessarily, but I'm just trying to keep it, you know, working in the right line. But we play in a lot of wind, dude. I mean, people don't appreciate, like,
yeah,
our course is windy. There's no trees. Like, so we go over to Ireland, like, our guys were pretty comfortable in Ireland, like, playing for the most part, you know. I think,
yeah, there's probably really 20 mile an hour to win.
Yeah, we have really today. Good, like, wind players. Like, most people aren't used to playing in that kind of wind. Well, that's cool, dude. Yeah, I mean, I got a kid coming, so I don't know if I'm going to get to plus. But
dude, I know you are. I can almost guarantee it, the kid actually might be good for you. Because you know what's going to happen. You're gonna stop caring as much.
Yeah.
Hashtag care less. And you're probably going to be at home a little bit more in the off season. And then you're going to come out like early next year and you're just going to be like, yeah, let's just see where my game's at. And then you're just going to reel it off. I can feel it.
Yeah, dude, for me, it's just like, I don't know, like, if every round were like a competitive round, I feel like I would be a better player than I am.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
So I used to think that you were the, I can't remember what they call it, like the social golf type, like you like to talk and play and you play better.
Yeah.
And I was the one that needed to like...
I thought that too, yeah.
I actually think it's the opposite.
I kind of do too.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Hot take.
I kind of.
I find that I play better when I am like loose, and I try to make like light of whatever competition or something is going on.
Yeah.
And I'm talkative.
Yeah.
And I have seen the dog in you come out when you are like heads down, like locked in your process.
My best rounds are when I'm in like demon mode, when I'm just locked in, not talking.
Because you when you talk and get like
it burns, you know, energy
going.
Yeah,
well, that, but you like forget the mental stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And for me, like when I'm talking and like doing stuff, it almost like brings me into the zone of like, oh yeah, hold on, like I need to do this, and then like process, execute, now go back and talk.
Yeah,
where like when I'm trying to like be locked in and heads down, I think about it too much.
Yeah.
And I like get way too into it.
Yeah.
And I'm like going through my process, walking down the fairway, and I get there and I'm like, oh shit. And so I almost have to distract myself outside of that, you know, think box, play box, like you used to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm always nails in competition, like by any stretch of the imagination. Like I have really bad rounds.
Nobody is.
My best rounds are always in competition.
Really?
Yes. Like my best scores this year were all competitive.
You think that's because you're locked in?
I think it's just because I'm focused. Like I'm locked in and focused, and I'm like, I think it's because I tend to not be as aggressive. I tend to play more conservative and like, I probably have better strategy, you know? Like I think my best rounds this year were like, I made 6 or 7 birdies the third day of the club championship. And I made a lost ball double and shot 74. A lost ball triple actually and shot 74. And then I shot 70 in that tournament in Virginia, like count them all, both balls. So like, if you look at my thing, it's like all my best scores are, they have like the C next to them.
Yeah. The competitive rounds.
Yeah.
That's like, interesting.
It's really weird. But granted, like I can shoot 1,000,000 in competition. Like it's not like I'm like, 100%, but definitely my best is better. And in any competition, your worst is always going to be bad because it's like you have to count every shot. Like,
yeah.
So
I think, you know, for anybody that's on that cusp, dude, play tournament golf.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, play some MGA events. I started playing the Mid-Am the last 2 years. Obviously, I play our club championship and stuff, but like, I think next year, if we can swing it, dude, we should play the 4-ball.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
And just I'd less to see what we shoot, like just playing competitive golf.
Yeah.
Changes the way that you look at golf, the way that you approach the game.
Yeah.
And like gets you way more comfortable over those like 3-4 footers. And I started doing that the last 2 years. I truly believe it's changed my game for the more positive. I mean, I used to like literally my knees would shake over a 3-footer in competition.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, dude, you're going to have to hit it. So go up there. You're not asking for a gimme, like go up there and make the putt. And so I think anybody, like it'll make you a better golfer. And trust me, the thing I was the most worried about was like going into competition and shooting like an 85.
Yeah.
People go into competitions and they shoot 95s.
Totally. Yeah. It's like whatever.
Like,
that's the thing. I never
care. It's not a big deal. No, literally nobody there cares about you at all.
I know.
Like, the winners came in behind us at like 7 under or something, like crazy good. And like, I didn't know who they were. Like, no one cared. Yeah, I was like,
It's like for me, it's a focus thing. Like, it's like when I'm locked in and really like focused and present and like attentive and like in the shot and like very laser focused, I play better. It's really hard for me to maintain my attention through a recreational round of golf. Inevitably, I just end up doing stupid shit. I just end up fucking around, and that's one thing I'm just like, I aspire to is like your discipline and just ability to like focus even on those like Friday rounds, on the Wednesday game. Like you just focus and you golf your ball. And I think some of it is like you see some good results and then it just kind of starts snowballing and you're trying to chase the next one and that kind of thing. That's been something that's been really cool to watch, man. It's just like your ability to like take it out to the course on a random Wednesday and like go shoot a really good number. And that's how I get to the next level, is to have that ability to just lock in and focus, as well as like a lot of the things you talked about today, kind of making those big changes to the swing where it's needed, really focusing on the mental game and the strategy. And some of that goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about, right? Making sure the equipment's like really dialed in. But I know for you, it like hasn't been one thing, it's been like multiple things compounding. And so that's why I thought it would be really interesting to do an episode on, just because like people can take, whatever nuggets they want to take from kind of your experience that are trying to kind of push through that level. But, to reiterate, like, I think, I don't know what the exact stats are, but I know for a fact that going from, call it a 12 handicap to a 6 handicap is like way, way, way easier than going from like a 2 or a 3 to a scratch. So
it's just because your room for error gets
you're dealing with
so much smaller,
right? Like, you're not going to find those, big things, right? Like when I was a 12, it's like suddenly I found a thing where I could hit the driver like on the planet, and now that saves me 10 shots around. Like, you don't have, like, you run out of those things, right? And so you're
for sure,
you're chasing inches, not very incremental changes. For me, like, it's like focusing more, on if I can really be locked into 8 out of 10 rounds instead of 5 out of 10 rounds, that's probably like, a lot of shots over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like the thing to like, to wrap up, the thing I've realized about this game and that I hear from, all these guys that have been playing it forever, like Jeff Prowse and, Mama Dave Carruthers and all these guys that have played the game so long, they all say the same thing. Dude, it's a funny game, and like, you never know what day your best is going to come out, and you certainly don't know what day your worst is going to come out. And like, dude, it was fucking hard. Like, I had those really bad rounds come out like within the past month. Last day of the club championship, I think I barely broke 90. I had a horrible round the first day of the Mac Cup. I didn't know where like this left miss was coming from. I felt like I was just, I didn't know where I was. I was like, what is, I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then you have these other days where you don't expect anything to happen, and all of a sudden you're like 3 under, and like you're striping everything dead straight. So just the ultimate point of it all is like, it's a funny game. You're going to have the really shitty rounds, and they're going to come out, and you have to get really comfortable with that. And then on the flip side, you got to take advantage on those days when things just seem to be working right. Because I think a lot of people, they'll start to have those days and they get in their own head.
That's me. Like,
you got to have fun with it, man.
Yeah.
You got to have fun with it.
Prowse was telling me that, like, we played when we got back from Ireland, and I shot 31 on the front, I think, at Windsong. And like, it was like a very easy 31.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like,
it was,
dude. It was like stripe down the middle, hit it to 8 feet, make it, stripe down the middle, hit it to 6 feet, make it. Like, there, it was like, it wasn't close to being a 32,
video game golf.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, on days like today, like, you got to get out and run. Like, you got to sprint. You got to go.
Yeah.
I think he said Tiziani told him that, like, when you have it, like, you got to go.
100%.
And I just, like, lost focus, like, kind of fucking started fucking around. And, yeah, then I backdoor a 42 or whatever, right? And it's like, all right, we're 73. But, like, today was the day where, like, I should have 100% should have shot 67 or 68. And that's the difference. You know, that's the difference. Like, because if that goes into my gin, all of a sudden, you know, it's everything. It's completely different. And so it's cool having these conversations, bro, because it's, you know, for everybody, like, there's a lot in here that can help people. And I know for me, this has been super helpful. And hopefully for other people, like, they can kind of find, you know, those couple things that that will make a difference for them as they're pushing to try to get to another level. So thanks for doing it, man. Mucho apreciado.
I know the baby's coming soon. So I know all of our listeners and myself and Sydney, you're sending you and Sarah love as well.
Thanks, buddy. We love you. For sure. All right. Love you guys too. See you, man.